I'm speaking this morning with Dick Jones. He is the past district governor of Rotary 5520, which covers all of New Mexico and West Texas. He was also the district 5520 polio eradication chair, working with Rotary International, much in a fundraising capacity, to eradicate polio. Now, Rotary International has played quite a significant role in the efforts to eradicate polio internationally. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, Dick Jones.
Thank you, Zaylee. I'm glad to be here.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about Rotary's effort, which has been phenomenal, a little bit about the history and where we are now in the efforts to eradicate polio?
Certainly, I'd be glad to. Rotary's effort to eradicate polio began in 1985 when a project was initiated in the Philippines to eradicate polio. In 1985, polio had basically been eradicated from the United States and Europe, but there were still 125 countries in the world that where polio was endemic. And through a grant from Rotary International, an effort was started in the Philippines to eradicate polio. And the eight, Rotary adopted the polio eradication initiative worldwide with a goal to, with the help of several partners, but Rotary has really been the lead in the effort. Several of our partners, including the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, credit Rotary with providing the leadership necessary to make this effort happen, and we were basically the boots on the ground from the very beginning that provided the grassroots initiative for all these other organizations to come along and join in the eradication effort.
And then the funds that the Gates Foundation have donated are really phenomenal. I mean, one, Rotarians, you have helped immunize more than 2 billion children against polio in 122 countries. And Bill and Melinda Gates, I think the current amount is about a maximum of $35 million a year. Is that correct?
That's correct. That started off the relationship between Rotary and the Gates Foundation began in 2009. Actually, it began in 2008. When the Gates Foundation gave Rotary a challenge to raise money for the eradication of polio, and they agreed to match it. The sum was $100 million, and they were going to match it if we could raise the money in 3 years. Well, Rotary raised the money in 9 months.
Wow.
And the Gates Foundation upped their ante, reaffirmed their commitment to Rotary. And we had a $255 million challenge, and Rotary met that challenge 2 years ago. And so the gift through that challenge was about $500 million. And they have continued to pledge $70 million over a three-year period that they will match Rotary's funds. And so it's a very great and partnership between the two organizations, and they have done a lot to support Rotary in our efforts to eradicate polio.
Now, I just want to say a few things about polio here. It mainly affects children under 5 years old. One in 200 infections leads to irreversible paralysis, and among those paralyzed, 5 to 10% die when their breathing muscles become immobilized. This is from the World Health Organization. So cases have decreased by over 99% since 1988. And this is, again, you know, when Rotary also became involved. But suddenly something is changing now. Can you tell us about the eradication efforts? The World Health Organization just recently confirmed 74 new cases of polio. 59 of them were in Pakistan. Now, 46 of these are in kind of conflict areas where eradication efforts have been hindered. So what the World Health Organization is looking at is cases of polio slipping over the borders. Rotary has become so close. Tell us first, before we talk about Pakistan, how many countries had polio through this eradication campaign?
In 2008, when the Gates Foundation joined the polio eradication effort, we had four endemic countries, and they were India, Pakistan, Nigeria, and Afghanistan. Going back to 1988, over 300,000 children were crippled each year with polio. And so that had been dropping significantly over those years until about 2012, when India reported its last case of polio. And just this year, India has been removed from the list of endemic countries and declared polio free. So that leaves us three countries, Pakistan, Nigeria, and Afghanistan. And prior to this year, the cases, well, for instance, in 2013, there were 160 cases reported in the endemic countries and 256 in the non-endemic countries. And what happens is polio is carried by humans from country to country. And so starting last year, we started to see an increase in the cases in both the endemic countries and the non-endemic countries. So polio has come back, and it is largely through travel. A couple of years ago, we had an outbreak in Tajikistan, and that was caused by some medical students had traveled from India to Tajikistan and carried the virus with them. And those that were attacked by the virus in Tajikistan had not been immunized, and so they were susceptible to the virus. Currently, the problem is resulting because there is conflict in particularly Nigeria and Pakistan, where the polio workers, the people that take the vaccines out to the communities, have been attacked by radical sects that don't want Western medicine in their country. They feel that it is an effort to sterilize their children, and they just don't want that effort. We had seen an example of this several years ago, and through Rotary had been able to work with the religious leaders in these various countries and develop their trust. But with the radical sects becoming more and more prevalent, a lot of that work has slipped away, and now we're seeing the resurgence of polio in Pakistan and particularly in Pakistan and Nigeria.
Now, the World Health Organization also said last week that the spread of the disease, Pakistan, Syria, and Cameroon, they called it, quote, an extraordinary event and a global public health threat. So even Syria, of course, also completely conflict-ridden, so unable to get in and get vaccinations. And then Cameroon. So this, as the World Health Organization said, could be an extraordinary public health threat because of how fast it can spread.
It is. The problem in Syria, of course, is their civil war. Syria had been polio-free for 14 years and had a very good public health program in place until the conflict broke out a couple of years ago, and because of all these people, the health system breaking down in that country and the population being displaced, it has just set the stage for the outbreak of polio. Yeah. In Cameroon, that is, and incidentally, the World Health Organization has monitoring protocols in place that are so sophisticated they can tell you from the DNA in these the virus that the particular strain of polio that is the problem in Syria right now came from Pakistan. With Cameroon being a neighbor of Nigeria, again, it's because of political unrest, the virus is being spread from Nigeria to Cameroon. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons that the World Health Organization implemented these restrictions, because it can travel, and the world is at risk because the virus is just a plane ride away.
And that is part of the recommendations that they say, that anybody leaving any of these countries should show proof of vaccination at this point. Whether or not this can be enforced, you know, remains to be seen, but that is the recommendation by the World Health Organization.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Now, I do want to take issue with one thing. I think that immunization in so many other countries, as you mentioned, there's been a lot of rumors about it, about wanting to sterilize our children, about it. But to be fair, these have been efforts that have been made. And specifically with Pakistan, this anti-polio campaign was targeted since intelligence officials used fake vaccination program in order to hunt down Osama bin Laden in 2011. They went in to get blood samples. So this is not just pure paranoia. This is based on something that our U.S. government did. They posed as vaccination officials to get Osama bin Laden's blood. Is that correct?
That is what I have been told. There are positions that say that it was a doctor went into Osama bin Laden's compound and that he was administering the polio vaccine. But the thing you have to realize with the polio vaccine, the administration of the vaccine is only through two drops of the live polio virus on the tongue of the child.
Right.
So through the administration of the polio vaccine, there's no way that there would be DNA evidence that they could extract. So,
well, it could have been
tying them together, I think, is a little bit unfair for the eradication initiative, but yes, the U.S. government has been accused of using an immunization type or obtaining DNA in the manner you described.
And I think that it's resulted, I mean, one, in the Taliban, of course, they were already posed to be opposed to anything Western, but dozens of health workers have been killed, violence carried out against polio vaccine workers. They say vaccine workers have been tortured, shot, bombed, and even have had family members kidnapped. If I had spent that many millions of dollars, is there any way you can sit down and say this has endangered an entire program that has been in place since the late 80s, and we were so close? I mean, I say this also. I know I have struggles with being a journalist, with U.S. intelligence officials posing as journalists, and therefore putting all journalists in jeopardy. There are so many journalists now, a friend of mine, Peter Grest, in prison now, being accused of being a spy because he's trying to do his work. So, of course, this is not an interview about attacking that, but it is saying you have these massive efforts that are then completely undermined by the actions of an intelligence agency that was perhaps so single-minded that it could literally jeopardize the eradication of polio in the world right now.
I think the advantage of Rotary is that it is a non-political organization that is represented in over 200 countries. Actually, the Rotary flag flies in more countries than the United Nations flag does. And through Rotary, we are able to go into a lot of places because we are an international organization that has had resistance created by the government. So Rotary, you know, really stays out of that part of it. But yes, I mean, you are right. It does put the workers at risk because everything is focused on this eradication effort.
Now, given these slips over boundaries and what we're doing, Is there any kind of change in tactic for Rotary, or have there been any kind of strategies about going into conflict areas specifically to give these drops to children? Well, and as you say, it's really just a few drops in the mouth.
Rotary is just one part of an alliance, and they are definitely working to get over this. And one of the things that has been happening, and since the international emergency was declared last week, the actual steps that are going to be taken to interrupt the transmission of the disease are still in the planning process. As a matter of fact, the Emergency Committee of the International Health Regulation, the World Health Organization, are meeting this week, and the Independent Monitoring Board, who are the folks who actually look at the DNA, the virus in the DNA, are also meeting. So those plans we should be seeing in the next week or two, but the strategy is targeting, monitoring, and targeting. They have rapid response teams in place so that when, for instance, a couple of years ago with Tajikistan, they had the vaccine within the area of the outbreak within a couple of days. The war and all the international conflict certainly slow that process down, but there are strategies in place to get the vaccine there as quickly as possible and to keep them to monitor it so that we do have a handle on where the spread is occurring.
Now, full disclosure for the purposes of this interview, I am a Rotary Peace Fellow, been the recipient of some remarkable Rotary fellowships, incredibly generous, and I have done work in England with the Polio Plus campaign during my graduate studies. That said, I remember asking officials of Rotary International at the time, there are so many needs in this world, and you have so much money and so much people power, so much effort. Why don't you spread the wealth? Why don't you also work in other areas? Take some of this funding and put it towards other causes. And I remember somebody saying, we are so close to eradicating polio. We must get this job done. And it's specifically because Rotary has put so much money into this that they needed to absolutely see it through to stay committed to the process. That said, I know Rotary does so many other projects around the world, just perhaps without this much single-minded focus. Can you tell us about some of the other larger projects that Rotary engages in?
Well, yeah, let me take this as a two-step response. First of all, there are 33,000 Rotary clubs throughout the world, and there are 71 in New Mexico and West Texas, District 5520. This year alone, we have had over $6 million worth of projects funded out of clubs within District 5520. And they have gone for everything from literacy. We worked with some of the daycare centers here in Santa Fe to implement their literacy program. We have put in handicap accessible playground equipment. Another club puts dictionaries into the school. We have a reading program here in Santa Fe where Rotarians go out and read to children, and then at the end of the year they give them a couple of books for their summer reading. We have a longtime project that we've been working on here in northern New Mexico, Santa Fe and Española specifically, joined by a number of other clubs, where we've been going down into Guatemala and doing clean water, putting in wells and delivering clean water to communities. When that project began about 12 years ago, the initial area that we were working in had a room in their local hospital that was a cholera room. and the cholera room had about 30 cots in it, and the people were just there. But because we provided clean water to the area, the last time they visited, that room only had one cot in it, and it was empty. So polio is not the only project that Rotary works on, but it is certainly our key project right now. And I think the very situation that we're talking about today, how rapidly the virus has infected and spread, is the very reason that we need to keep focused on the total eradication of polio. The virus is so easily spread that if we don't completely eradicate it, 30 years of effort will have disappeared. And the funding, I mean, Rotary has put in a lot of money, over $2 billion in the eradication effort, but we've been joined by all of these other partners who also provide funding, and a lot of the world governments provide funding also. So the total cost of this effort is probably $500 billion. I mean, it's a huge amount of money.
Huge amount of money.
That would be totally lost if we don't see it through to the end.
Well, and that's exactly what this official explained to me, and it made complete, absolute sense, which is why this must strike fear into the heart of many people who have worked on this for so many years after being so close. And that was certainly my point on this. Now, Rotary Santa Fe has a celebration this Saturday. Can you tell me about the importance of this day?
Yes. The Rotary Club of Santa Fe is celebrating our 90th anniversary in Santa Fe. And we are having a celebration dinner. And it's particularly special because we have the president of Rotary International, Ron Burton, joining us as our keynote speaker. Ron has been not only a member of the Rotary International Board of Directors, but he's also served on the Rotary Foundation as a trustee. That is the nonprofit arm of Rotary, where all of our programs, the Peace Scholar programs and the matching grants and the polio money, all of that comes through the Rotary Foundation. So Ron is an exciting man. He has years of service to Rotary, great background in the organization. And yeah, we were very fortunate this past weekend to have Ron Burton, the president of Rotary International in Santa Fe, to celebrate our 90th anniversary. The Rotary Club of Santa Fe was chartered on January 24th, 1914, and we celebrated our 90th anniversary in May because that's when we could schedule Ron to be with us. It's with all the clubs in the world. He has a very, very busy travel schedule, and we just felt most fortunate to be able to have him join us for our anniversary last Saturday night.
Rotary is making a lot of efforts to reach out to younger people. I know that it might have a reputation now of being kind of an older group, but tell us a little bit about the efforts made to bring in people and some of the programs that you're offering to young students in particular around the state and the country.
Our youth programs are absolutely some of the best of any service organization. We start, and we're just getting this group organized. They're called our early actors. They're elementary school kids. Primarily, their parents or grandparents or Rotarians. And so we're getting started with them. They're going to have an event next week where they are going to paint birdhouses that will be distributed to some of the assisted living homes here in Santa Fe. Then we have our Interact Club. We have, within the last few years, started a Interact Club, which is our high school level program at both Capitol High and Santa Fe High. I have to brag about both of those organizations a little bit. They, 2 weeks ago at our district conference, they both received the presidential citation, which is an outstanding an award for outstanding service. last year, the Capitol High Club decided that they were going to feed the families of homeless students that attend Capitol High, and they had set out to feed 10. They got carried away and ended up feeding 40. This year, they're working on a project to raise $4,000 to provide clean water to a village in Guatemala. And so these kids are just absolutely incredible young people and are doing such a great job. Rotaract is the college level. We have a Rotaract club down at UNM, and they've been very, very active in the Albuquerque area. They have about 70 students from 13, I believe it is, different countries around the world. And then one of the programs that Rotary is really known for is our youth exchange program. We send young high school age students from New Mexico, and this year in Santa Fe we have 3 outbound students, and they will spend next year attending high school in a foreign country. And in return, we will have a student from one of those countries join us here in Santa Fe for a year. And they get to experience the culture. They learn the language. They live in the home of families there in the countries that they're at. And so that's an incredible program and an opportunity for those children, students. And then we have our Peace Scholar program that you participated in, where we send young professionals to various parts of the world to work on degree programs. And we have 8 universities that we partner with around the country. Around the world, yes, studying peace and conflict resolution.
I've always said it's really one of the most generous scholarship programs, and for the training you get, it's amazing. And I think what Rotary does really well, beyond a motto of service above self, is to integrate people of different cultures. As you say, these exchange programs are so incredibly vital. My own grandmother ran the exchange program after the war in France, trying to bring French and German students together in a peaceful way. And I see Rotary as continuing this kind of work. Her program is called The Experiment in International Living, and this is really a project in international exchange, isn't it?
It really is, because Rotary is really in the business of peace, and peace is the first step in eliminating many of these other problems, such as polio and poverty and clean water. And, you know, if you know someone, it's much, much harder to dislike them when you know them on a one-to-one basis.
Absolutely. So where can people go to get information, one, about joining Rotary, or just coming to find out a bit more about it and some of the projects that it is involved in?
They can go to the district website, which is rotary5520.org. They can go to the local website, which is santafe.rotary.org, or they can just go to rotary.org, which is the international website.
Perfect. Dick Jones, again, I'm speaking with the past district governor of Rotary 5520, which encompasses all of New Mexico and West Texas. Dick Jones is also the District 5520 Polio Eradication Chair. He's been working with Rotary International on an enormous worldwide campaign that has been going on for decades to eradicate polio from the world. This has taken a little bit of a back step now, mostly due to conflict in countries that are very fragile. Conflict, of course, jeopardizes the health systems as well in these countries, makes it much more difficult to vaccinate children. And there is no cure for polio. That is why this is so incredibly important. And again, it takes as little as a few drops on the tongue for a child to be immune for the rest of his or her life. So, Dick, will you tell me now specifically about the efforts that you are doing with the polio eradication campaign moving forward? You are still the chair, correct?
I am the chair for District 5520. And I've been in that position for several years now. And it's basically a fundraising position where We go out and tell the Rotary story of polio. Many, many people have no idea that polio is still such a virulent condition in the world, because we have been basically polio-free in the United States from the late 60s. I'm retired, and the only experience that I have with polio is remembering my mother taking me to the clinic when I was a child to get the shot, and then there was a summer when I was in elementary school when we couldn't go to the swimming pool because that was one of the ways that the virus was spread.
And historically speaking, in 1955, there were almost 30,000 Americans stricken with polio before Jonas Salk developed the vaccine in 1955, followed by the oral vaccine in 63.
Mm-hmm. And the oral vaccine is what is being used now. It is a live vaccine, and so it has to be transported in refrigerated containers so that the virus is still effective when it gets to the site of the immunization. But it's amazing when you look back at the number of people that were confined to iron lungs for 50 years because their chest muscles had ceased to function, and that's the only way they could stay alive. Matter of fact, the last person affected by polio and living in an iron lung in the United States died only 2 years ago.
Wow.
And she basically spent 50 years in an iron lung.
Now, there hasn't been a case of polio in the U.S. since 79, right? A new case?
There have not been cases reported since 79.
I know I went to school with a young man with polio. He was my first schoolgirl crush, actually. And so we learned a little bit about polio at the time. And in my view, it seemed like something, even though he was there with polio, using crutches everywhere, it seemed like something that came from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the big problems with it. It's something that's somewhere else in the world, and it really doesn't affect me. But when you see what is going on in the world today, you know how vulnerable we are. One of the times I was speaking to a club in New Mexico about polio, the club president came up to me at the end of the program and said, you know, I am from Canada and Vancouver area, and when I was a child, we had an outbreak of polio in my hometown, and it was because some missionaries had traveled to another part of the world. They had not been vaccinated, and they brought the virus back to Canada with them, and the entire community had to receive the vaccination so that they would be protected.
Now, I should know this as the mother of a young child, but is polio among our vaccinations that we give to school children?
Yes, it is.
Okay. If anybody who travels, it seems that anybody who does travel, particularly if they're going through African countries or nearby, should be aware of this, right? I mean, it takes one person who doesn't have the vaccination to bring it back into a community that also does not have the vaccination.
We still need to be, prepared, because I believe it is one of the vaccines that's given in the early years, preschool, and it will. They need to be protected against it.
School children, you mean?
Yes.
But you say that it is part of the
vaccination. It's my understanding
package.
That it is part of the package that is given to children. And I could be mistaken on that, because I've gotten a couple of differing opinions over the years. But that is my understanding at this point, that it is part of the immunization package.
I may have to find out about that.
You may have to do some more research.
I may have to. I should know this again. Well, Dick Jones, thank you so much for being with us today. I wish you and Rotary 5520 a very happy 90th anniversary, and congratulations for the visit by the Rotary International President. As many Rotarians certainly know, if not other civilians, this is quite an honor for a Rotary Club.
It is. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event for our club, and we certainly appreciated the effort that President Burton made on getting to Santa Fe to be with us for our anniversary.
Well, thank you so much, Dick Jones. We'll be following the polio eradication efforts as they progress. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear about another very worthy project, Youth Build, out at the Santa Fe Community College.